Now, just to bring you back up to speed, because sometimes this section of 1 Kings can be a little difficult. It's not, but sometimes people think it is. And they forget who's king of what. Rehoboam is the king of the south. Two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Jeroboam is the king of the north. All the rest of the tribes, the other 10 tribes. Both kings are bad kings. They are not men of God. They are not walking, nor talking, nor even thinking about God in most of what they're doing. They have both allowed high places, the false worship. Jeroboam, of course, remember, made golden calves to worship and said, "These are your gods. Don't go on down to Jerusalem. Worship these here. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt." Remember? And so they're literally worshiping golden calves. And that's not a good thing, as you recall. God said to Jeroboam, "If you will walk before my face, in front of my eyes, in obedience, then I will bless you and make the kingdom last and remember all the promises. But if not, I'll just take you out." And he doesn't mean he'll date him. He means he will take him out and away from it. Well, and you see that Jeroboam built those idols. And that's kind of where we start up in chapter 14. At that time, at what time? At the time that Jeroboam made those idols and people were worshiping those, at that time, Abijah, Jeroboam's son, he fell sick. Now this young man is ill. He's not well. And it seems to be a pretty severe sickness. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise yourself. Put on a different costume, that you may be not known to be the wife of the king, Jeroboam. And get down to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet." Remember the man of God? "Which told me that I should be king over this people." Remember Ahijah? He came to Jeroboam and said, "Thus saith the Lord, if you will walk before him, God will give you this kingdom. He'll allow you to be king. But what you need to do is trust him and obey him and listen to him and walk before his face in honesty and in righteousness. Now if you don't, it'll be taken from you." Jeroboam knows he is not walking correctly. You see, his conscience is telling it to him. His own heart is condemning him. How do I know? Because he's asking his wife to go instead of he going, and he's asking her to disguise herself so nobody will recognize her. I mean, when you have to start resorting to saying, hey, go talk to so-and-so for me. You already know. Your heart is already specifically condemning you. Your heart is already showing you that something is not right. It's at that point that you should stop and just cry out to God. But he doesn't. He says to his wife, "Hey, put on some clothes so people won't recognize you and go down there. And we got to find out if this kid's going to die or what's going to happen here. And take with you 10 loaves and some crankles," that's little cakes, "and a cruse of honey, and go to the man of God, and he'll tell you what shall become of the child." Now, he tells her, take this gift with you, and it's a gift that a poor person would bring. Not a gift that a king would bring, but a gift that a poor person. A few loaves of bread and some honey and some little cakes. That's part of the disguise. See, if she brought gold and silver and really expensive things, then he might catch on to who this is. But I want you to disguise yourself. Make sure nobody knows you're the king's wife. Go in there and take even a poor gift. They'll think you're just a poor lady coming in from somewhere. And try and find out what's going on. It's interesting how we are as people. How often do you and I not take credit for our own sin and really want someone to help us out or like to be a part of it with us? How come he doesn't go down there himself, disguise himself? Saul did. at one time. He disguised himself, went on down to that witch at Endor. How often do you and I blame it on someone else or use someone else? For instance, Adam, where are you? Well, I'm hiding over here behind this tree because I heard your voice. I knew you were coming on out here, and I knew that I was naked, so I hid myself. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The woman that you gave me, she gave it to me, and I ate it. Now, I'd like to ask you a question about that statement. Is that the truth? Is there something wrong with it? See how some of us are? Have you been telling the truth? Well, the truth is so-and-so. The truth is, you know, that husband that you gave me. See, he's done this to me, and so this is why. And when God says to you, where are you? And you say, well, the children. How often are you trying to not take credit for what's wrong? And are you trying to have someone help you in it or be a part of it? The truth, you could say that's the truth. Maybe that husband, maybe that wife. I mean, Eve did bring it to him and he ate. The truth is, he's telling the truth. But the truth just so happens to not be good enough in this case. Some of you are telling the truth, but it's not good enough. In other words, Jeroboam ought to just go himself and just find out for himself the truth. He's still going to learn the truth. He could drag in his whole family and he could get the kids, hey, run down there and ask. And Adam said, the woman you gave me. You know what Adam just said? It's your fault. Isn't it? Well, God, if you wouldn't have given her to me, I wouldn't have done that. And so he says to the woman, woman, what have you done? And what did she say? Did she lie? No, then you go back and read Genesis chapter 3. She told the honest truth. The snake tricked me, and I ate. And that was the truth. He beguiled her. He fooled her. He tricked her. Was she lying? No, she was telling the truth. Now see how we can justify. But what I'm saying is a fact. She is this. They did do that to me. This is the case. But God still says, where are you? Jeroboam, where are you? You know, and his wife's going to put on a whole costume so she won't look like herself. She's going to go down there. And you're going to hear that the curse is against the house of Jeroboam. And so it's you're thinking wrong if you think, well, it doesn't affect her. No, right. Her child is going to die. As a matter of fact, her whole family is going to die. That sort of affects her, I think. It also includes her. Same with Adam and Eve. I mean, yeah, you could say everything you want about Eve. You could say everything you want about Adam. But the curse affected the whole family. Both of them. Didn't it? And not one of them had the heart to say, well, I mean, what would have happened had Adam, if God would have said, where are you? And Adam would have said, I sinned. Lord, I did what you asked me not to do, and I bow before you. I confess I have sinned. That would have been a whole other story, but we can't go there because it didn't work that way. How about you? When there is sin and God says to you, where are you? Are you asking somebody to go check for you? Hey, put your face on really good. Put a bag over your head and go in there and find out what my score is. Go over and ask. Go ask the pastors. You know, and people do call us at times. And the question is like this. Well, you know, Pastor, I have a friend. You're lying. I know you ain't got a friend. Tell me the truth. Tell me. Just ask your question. My friend is really having trouble in this area. Oh, and how old is your friend? Oh, your age. Wow. Instead of being willing to say, you know what? God is saying, where are you? Jeroboam, he says to, he knows. He wouldn't ask her to disguise herself. He already knows. He just knows. What did God say? It was clear. The command was this. You walk before my face in righteousness. Listen to me and trust me, and I will bless you. And don't turn to the left or right. You go, now he's got false idols set up, and he knows why. He doesn't want to lose people. He does not want to lose people and have them move on down closer to Jerusalem. Then he won't be king of his many. Then Rehoboam will be king of too many. And so he's afraid. So he doesn't want them to even go down there. So his heart is wrung and he knows it. And so he's going to try this little sneak thing. My son is sick. I sort of got a funny feeling. It might be my fault. Could you go find out? Instead of confessing and breaking those things down and falling on his face before the Lord, like David. David said, I have sinned against you and you alone. He confessed it before the Lord with a broken heart. If you wanted sacrifice, I would give it, he says, but it's a broken and a contrite heart. You will not despise that. This guy's heart isn't there. Our hearts, we learn. We're supposed to see this and learn. Where's your heart? When God says, where are you? Do you simply explain to him what others have done? Well, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate. Well, the snake tricked me. And the snake probably, if there would have been a family dog, would have said, the dog wagged his tail and I thought, and it would have gone down. To, you know, it just would, nobody stopped and said, I am guilty. That's what confession is. That's what part of repentance is. Repentance, turning away. You're headed that way, and to repent means to completely turn around and go the other way. Now, no questions asked, no hesitation. You're now going the other way. You were headed for hell. God said, repent. You came to the Lord. He has given you life. You immediately were turned, and now you're going the opposite way. No matter how rough it is going that way, you're going against the flow, you're going to heaven. And Jeroboam says, and take these gifts, by the way. And Jeroboam's wife, she did so. She arose and she went to Shiloh, which is where the ark was. She came to the house of Ahijah. He was the prophet. And Ahijah, he could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. As he was getting older, he was losing his eyesight. He couldn't see. It looks like he was about blind here. Obviously, he hasn't been listening to the radio. There's stuff that makes your eyes better if you eat it. I think it's grapes this week, isn't it? Grape seeds. Dirt. Dirt works good for your eyes. And the Lord said to Ahijah now, he's practically blind. He says, now this is, don't you hate it when God just gives somebody a clue? He says, behold, the wife of Jeroboam, she's coming to ask a question of you about her son. He's sick. And thus shall you say to her, for it shall be, when she comes in, she shall pretend to be another woman. Now, what a bummer, huh? You're all in another costume. You're ready. You're going to fool this old dude who can't see anyway. And look what happens. It was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she walked in the door. As soon as he heard her feet, he said, come in, Jeroboam's wife. He can't even see. You don't stand a chance against God. Those of us who are trying to, if you think for one moment that your sin is hidden because you got a good reason, because all the people around you are really causing that sin. You know, everybody around you is the reason that your life is so miserable. You notice that? Everybody. If you really think that, and you think you've got a costume on, and you're really getting by with it, no, God's going to mention it to somebody. And some, when you next time you walk around, somebody's going to go, hey, Jeroboam's wife, how you doing? How did you know? Man, I ran into a guy one time. Well, there's a lady, too, that she speaks at women's conferences. She's sort of the same way. I met a guy one time, and as people were walking up to shake his hand, he spoke, and it was kind of neat. And Neat guy. And people would walk up to shake his hand, and they'd walk up and they'd shake his hand, and he'd look at them and say, "I see you have a problem with lust." And then the person would say, no, yes, you do. I see it. The Lord's showing me that you have a problem. You need repair." And they'd go, "To tell you the truth, I do." Then the next person that comes up, he'd shake their hand and say, "You know what? I can see you've got a poor attitude about your husband. Your heart is wrong. The Lord's showing it to me. You need to deal with it right now. Kneel with me right now." I didn't even bother to go up there. I thought, well, we're going to keep him busy for a month, man. Now, wouldn't that scare you? You walk up to somebody and you've never met them, and they go, "Boy, you have a lousy mind. Hi, Jeroboam's wife. How you doing? How would you like it? How would you like it?" You know, the only way you'd like it is if you were being honest all the way through and confessing as you went and not holding this and not blaming it on everybody around me. The reason that I'm always upset is everybody around me is so stupid. The reason that I can't function is the people don't understand me. They treat me bad. They don't like me. And that's why I rob banks. That's why I do these things. Because see, I was raised, it's my mother's fault. She always liked you best. And so here Jeroboam's wife is disguised as somebody else. And Ahijah goes, "Come on in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you pretending to be somebody else? How would you feel?" Well, the game's over. The game's up. In a way, that's kind of a good feeling, isn't it? When the game is over, you can relax. Everybody knows you're a jerk. You can really rest in that. And he says, "Why are you pretending to be someone else? Listen, for I am sent to you. You weren't sent to me. I was sent to you with some bad news. I have some heavy tidings," he says. "Why are you pretending to be someone else? I've been sent to you." See, she thought she was sent on down to find out something. She says, no. God has sent me to you. And I've got some bad news. "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel. For as much as I exalted you from among the people and made you prince over my people Israel, I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. You have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in my eyes." You haven't been like David. David, with all his heart, followed me. Did he sin? Yes. But he honestly confessed it and was broken and came before the Lord and acknowledged it. He wasn't hiding it or pretending to be someone else or whatever. He actually confessed it when he got caught. Because God told someone else too. God always lets people know. "But you have done..." Look at verse 9. This is what I want you to tell your husband. "You have done evil above all that were before you." He has done more evil than all the previous rulers before him. That's an ugly thing to say to somebody. "For you have gone and made you other gods," verse 9, "and molten images to provoke me to anger. You have made me mad." Oh boy. "And you have cast me behind your back." Now think about that for a moment. God's not happy. And nothing is slipping past him here. You're not going to put another costume on, fake him out so you can find out details. We're not going to do that to God. He's not playing some sort of game with you and with me. He wasn't playing with Adam when he said, "Where are you?" He knew where Adam was hiding. He was saying, "Adam, do you realize where you're at? Do you realize now you are separated from me? Where are you?" Adam wasn't willing to admit it. It's someone else's fault. If you're still saying that, if I'm still saying that, we're getting nowhere. We are not in right standing with the Lord. We're still at a distance. When God says, "I want you to walk with me," then you and I say, "I want to walk with you." And as soon as he points out something that's in disobedience to his word, you don't explain to him why you're doing it. I don't explain to him why we're doing it. We say, "I thank you for showing that to me. I confess to you." To confess means we're in agreement with God that it's no good. If God says this is sin, you don't explain to him why you do it. I mean, you may be telling the truth, but that's not good enough. If God said it's sin, you and I stop, we confess it and say, it is sin. I agree with you. I'm in agreement with you. It's no good. Help me. Strengthen me. I don't want to walk this way. So you go tell your husband that you've provoked me to anger. You've made other gods. You've made molten images. You've provoked me to anger. And you have cast me behind your back. To cast God behind his back, that's just the opposite of what God's called him to do, isn't it? God said, I want you to walk before my face. Instead, you have cast me behind your back. You've turned your back on me. Listen, that means to completely and openly reject God. You have cast me behind your back. That means you have completely and openly rejected me. Now, is Jeroboam completely and openly rejecting God? He would say no. He was still worshiping God. He was still praying to God. He was still looking to the man of God for direction. You'll see he was still playing the religious game. Now, let's bring it up to the time we live. Are you openly and completely rejecting God and yet still saying you're a Christian? Showing up at church, yet have cast him behind your back, turned your back on him, and you refuse to do what he says because you're hurt, or you're afraid, or you're frustrated, or you're mad now. Have you turned your back on him? Because he says, when you worship an idol, you've turned your back on him. You say, well, no, just for a few minutes. Well, think about that a second. How many times are we openly rejecting him? Peter, were you not with Jesus? I don't know what you're talking about. The other one said, oh yeah, you were with Jesus of Galilee. I had never been with him. A little later on, yes, you're one of them. I saw you with him. Your accent gives you away. You're a Galilean. And the Bible says Peter cursed. That doesn't mean he used foul language or just ripped off a bunch of bad words. It means he swore that he's never been with Jesus and didn't know him. And he swore a curse upon himself. If I'm lying, maybe I be cursed and damned by God to the lowest, darkest hell. That's what the Bible means when he cursed. It means he put a curse on himself. If I'm lying to you, I don't know him. I've never known him. And if I'm lying, may God himself curse me and damn me forever to hell. Turned his back on God, didn't he? Completely rejected God. Jesus said he would. Sometimes I wonder about you and I. When we know what's right and we don't do it, and of course I know, it's not our fault. It's because we were tired, we were sick, we were mistreated, we were misused, we were not educated when we were growing up, we didn't have the money, we didn't have the time. There's always a reason. But the truth is, we need to confess it. Peter went out and wept bitterly, brokenhearted. The difference between Peter and Judas. Judas was sorry and hanged himself. And suicide is not the answer. Repentance. Going that way, completely turn around, and now you go the other way. Jeroboam has an opportunity to repent. It's not going to happen, though. You can see it by him sending in a spy, his wife. So you've completely and openly rejected God. You've cast me behind your back, which is just the opposite of what the command was. Walk before my face. You walk right in front of me, in front of my eyes. Instead, you've turned your back on me. So therefore, verse 10, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off, that means take out, all the males and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man takes away refuse till it be all gone. I'll sweep the house of Jeroboam out and sweep it all out like trash. The whole family will go, but especially all the males first. And he that dies of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. And him that dies in the field, the birds of the air are going to eat. For the Lord has spoken it. Bad day. Arise thou therefore. Verse 12. Get thee to thine own house. And when your foot enters into the city, the child will die. As soon as you set foot into the palace was right at the edge of the city. As soon as she set foot, probably her foot touched the city and the doorway to the palace, that child died. And all Israel shall mourn for that child and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. All the males will be put to death. The whole family will be wiped out. Interestingly enough, this one child who dies innocent, dying for the sins of someone else, he will be buried properly. All the rest of the entire family won't, the males. Because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Something about this kid. He wasn't growing up like his dad or his mom or the rest. Something about him, God says, I'm going to have mercy on him. I'm going to kill him early. You don't think that way, do you? None of us do, not really. And he'll receive a proper burial, whereas all the rest of your males, the males will be killed. They're all, by the way, going to be killed in one day. You'll see that in another chapter or two. They're going to be killed in one day and they're going to throw them out in the field. The dogs will eat them in the streets of the city. The ones that are out in the field, the birds will eat them. But this young man, he's going to receive a proper burial. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. He says, that means what can I say even now? That's what's going to happen. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land. He's talking about the 10 tribes. The two tribes that are down south, they're also going to be taken out. But right now, the Lord is talking about the top 10 of Jeroboam's crew. God will root them up out of the good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river. The river, in this case, as you look and see how God operates, the river we're talking about is the Euphrates River over there. Shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. Because the people followed the king's example and made the groves and the high places to worship. God says, they were warned. I told them I would take them out of the land as punishment, as a chastisement. Will he love them? Yes. Are they still his? Yes. But he's going to take them out because he told them, you've got to do this way. Don't do these things or there will be a price to pay. Well, the price is going to be paid. They're going to be taken out of their land and rooted up out of the land and taken on the other side or over by the Euphrates over there. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. That's good news from your wife, huh, when she comes home? How's your day, dear? Well, here's what he said. First of all, he knew who I was right away. And remember, you can say, well, his wife has a tough message to give to Jeroboam, but come on, doesn't she have a tough message to swallow herself? I mean, when all the family dies, all the males at one time, but the whole family dies, isn't she part of the family? And remember, even if sometimes you're saying, and I'm saying, well, it's their fault, it's them. Remember, we're all in it. And when a family is destroyed, the whole family is destroyed. You can blame it on everybody else. But when the family is destroyed, the family is destroyed. And pain and suffering and all that goes with it. Well, Jeroboam's wife arose, verse 17. She departed. She came to Tirzah. That's where the palace was located. When she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. There was the sign to show you that what the man of God said would be. They buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, just as God said, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Ahijah, the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred, how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of Chronicles, Kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he died. And Nadab his son reigned in his place, or in his stead. So he reigned for 22 years, and then he died. And you're going to see how all his sons are killed at the same time. That's coming up later on. Now, that takes care of the guys of the north. God has said, I'm going to take the children of Israel out of this land. They're going to go into captivity. You've probably read, the book of Daniel in the times that you've read your Bible. And you see, Daniel, that Israel is, Jerusalem's destroyed. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, a bunch of young people are taken captive. Many are put to death on the spot. Some are taken captive. And you can read the book of Daniel when you get some time. It talks just a little bit about that. Well, now we go down south to the bad king down south. Now you see what's going to happen up north. They're going to be taken out of their land. Let's go down to the bad king down south. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah, the tribe, the peoples, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. And during the time of the judges, remember all the troubles they had? They're even worse than during the time of the judges. They're disobedient to the Lord. They also built them high places and images. Remember in the time of the judges that was very common, and Gideon had those destroyed? He broke down those high places. But they're built back up now. And the children of God up north are worshiping golden calves. The children of God down south are worshiping the sex goddesses and the weird gods of the Canaanites. Down south, they're at the high places. They built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. I mean, the worship of the false gods was spread rampant all throughout the south. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. They were doing the very things now that God threw out all the other nations for doing and gave that land to Israel. A country that is formed, settled by God Himself, set up by God. And the people that were here first were heathens, were worshiping the great spirits and this and that and the trees and the flowers. And so God takes it from them and gives it to a people who will be His. And what do they do with it? They turn their back. They completely and openly reject God. What do you think God's going to do about that? He'll take them out of that land. There'll be suffering. There'll be widespread death and destruction. And those who live will be taken into captivity. And that's what's coming. And there were also Sodomites in the land. Now they had basically gotten rid of those. They fought a war over that in the book of Judges. A war over a handful of homosexuals. And remember, tens of thousands of people died over that. Sodomites, what is that? The word comes from the word Sodom, which is a town, a city, on the plains there in Israel. Normally, when you talk about a sodomite, you're talking about a homosexual male. Male prostitute of sorts. Genesis 19, verses 4 through 7. Lot is in town. Two angels show up, remember? And the angels have come to destroy the place because the smell of that sin finally reached heaven, and God said, it stinks all the way up here. We've got to get rid of it. We have to destroy. So the angels show up. Lot sees them coming into town, and he walks up to him and says, well, I see your visitors. You know, this isn't a real safe town. Come home and spend the evening with me and my family. We'll give you food. We'll give you a place to stay. It was common in those days for hospitality. And see, Sodom is the kind of place that you'd want to be hanging out when it got dark. Around City Square, you know what I mean? And the angel said, no, you know, thanks for the offer, but we want to stay right downtown. We'll sleep on these park benches here. We just want to stay. We kind of want to check the place out. And Lot says, no, you don't want to do that. You'll wake up dead. You come up. And it says he wouldn't take no for an answer. The language is he made them come with him. So they went to his house and he made them dinner. And as they were eating and they enjoyed, you know, fellowship, they were talking and just had a good time. And when it was time to go to bed, or about time to go to bed, there was a knock at the door. And the Bible says this, Genesis 19, verse 4. Before they lay down to go to sleep, the men of the city, and the men of Sodom, that city, they surrounded the house, both old and young, all people from every quarter of the city. And they called Lot, and they said to him, where are the men which came to visit you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. Now, the homosexual community teaches that when they say we want to know them, that all they want to do was meet them and shake hands and welcome them to town. Just want to know them. You believe that? No, just read on. And you'll see that is absolutely, this know here is the same word used when Adam knew his wife Eve and they had children because of knowing each other. Get my drift? We're talking about homosexual relationships here. These men want to have sex with the new men in town. And Lot went out the door and shut the door behind him, and said, I pray you, brothers, do not so wickedly. What's so wicked about just wanting to shake somebody's hand and get to know them? Right. That's not what's being taught here. I don't care what you think. The truth is, they wanted to have sexual relations with new men that came into town. And there was young men and old men, and they surrounded the house. That's one of the reasons God is going to wipe off the face of the earth, that city, Sodom. That's where the term sodomite comes from. Someone who would be men who would have sex with men, women who would have sex with women. They're called the homosexual in our days. That is an abomination. It is absolutely forbidden in the Word of God. Not just said, you know, that's really an ugly thing. It is forbidden for God's people. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 28. This is not politically correct. This will not be one of the most popular tapes that we have. Romans 1, 25 through 28. They refused to obey God. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile, sickening affections. For the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They started having sex with animals and each other. And also, likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet or necessary. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't work right, to do those things which are not convenient. So homosexuality is not convenient. What does convenient mean in our language? It is not proper, or it is not a thing that should be done. He turned them over, and they were doing things that are not proper and things that should not be done. Pretty specific language, isn't it? I took all that time to tell you this. There were sodomites in the land. They're worshiping false gods, and homosexuality came out in the open and was accepted. And at that point, God says, just like Popeye, that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. And you watch and see, God's going to destroy. And it's not going to be a computer breakdown. When God works, He doesn't need to pull the plug. And God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning in the Almighty God. He wants me and you to walk with Him. Salvation is by grace. He loves me, but He wants me as His child to listen to Him and to trust Him and to walk before His face. He says, if you love me, Bob, obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah, but the guys that are around me, they're always making me mad. That's why I'm sinning. Well, I confess to you that I'm sinning. I confess to you my sin. Who cares who's around me? Who cares if anybody ever treats you like you think you should be treated? The truth is, He loved me and gave Himself for me. He paid a price. And I belong to Him. And you belong to Him. And so now we walk in humility. So there were sodomites in the land, the male prostitutes and the whole homosexual thing going on, and the foolishness and the ugliness of idolatry. And it came to pass because of that now. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. What did he do? He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house. He took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon made. God allowed an enemy to come in and rip them off. Now all the shields of gold, and that was a lot, and he took all the stuff. Now it's gone. Now the king's like almost broke. You think that'll turn him around? Not likely. Think hard here. King Rehoboam made in their place brass shields. Now brass and gold, if you work them right, can be the same color, can't they? Pretty close. Especially from a distance. You shine them up and it still looks like you've got those gold shields, doesn't it? But they're not, they're brass. What's he doing? He just wants everybody to think everything is okay. Hypocrisy is what we're talking about. Not only are they disobeying, not only are they allowing things in their land which are an absolute abomination, but they're going on now, even though they've been ripped off, he wants everybody to think it's all cool. Everything is just fine. Nothing's, no problem. We got the shields here and they're beautiful, but they're brass, they're not gold. They look like gold, but they're not real. Are you and I being hypocrites? Pretending to be something that we're not. Are we walking around looking like gold, but really are we just cheaper brass? There's a lot of lessons in here, and they all are kind of tough lessons. Not only does he make some brass shields, but he commits them into the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. So everybody that came by still see, everything's okay. It's not a problem. Everything's fine. Look, I'm king, and God loves me, and everything is going great. But the truth is, we all know the truth. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guards bear him, or bear them, the shields, and brought them back into the guard chamber. Did you hear that? Now see, he not only is disobeying God, he not only is allowing sodomites in the land, he not only has allowed the high places where they're worshiping false, he not only is worshiping false, but he's put up a false impression because God has allowed something to come upon him. Now he's got these brass that look like gold. But what else does he do? He goes to the house of the Lord. What for? Well, it would look bad if he didn't, wouldn't it? Haven't you had anybody ask you lately? Hey, I haven't seen you in church in a while. What's going on? So you hate them to ask you that, don't you? So you show up. Got that brass shield. Everything's fine. If going perfect, you may be living in absolute total depravity. But if you could keep it up, no one will know. Unless that dude comes walking up and says, I see you have a problem. You know, that, as long as that guy didn't show up. Any one of us. Walk out that door and your life may be an absolute mess. But you come on in and every got that brass shield. You're in the house of the Lord. Everything. He's a fake. He's not worshiping God. But you know what? He doesn't fool anybody but me and you. He's not fooling God. And I don't fool anybody but you. I'm not fooling God. And you don't fool anybody but me. We're not fooling God. Where's your heart? Have you confessed? Are you really saying, my sin is mine? No matter who else is involved, I confess my sin to you. Are you there? Because I notice when the king went into the house of the Lord, the guards are carrying those. It looks like everything's fine. And he shows up at the house of the Lord. Yeah. Remember when Saul had been dumped? God said, no longer are you king. I've anointed David. When God said, I got somebody else, a man after my own heart. Remember what Saul said to Samuel? Okay, right, I know I'm a dope and God's finished with me. But could you turn around and sacrifice with me so it'll look like everything's still fine? Remember that? Samuel said, no, I won't. Please, oh please, oh please, come on. If you know, it's really going to make me look bad if everybody thinks I'm not the king. You're not. God is through with you. I know, but could we just do this so it'll look like it? And finally, when Samuel turned to walk away, Saul grabbed his clothes and they ripped. And then Saul grabbed Samuel's, got it? And they ripped. And Samuel turned back and said, that's what God's going to do, rip the kingdom from you. Rehoboam's not going to be king much longer. The house of the Lord, a false pretense of devotion to God. Ananias and Sapphira pretended to be more godly than they were. What happened to them? People ask me, do I believe in being slain in the Spirit? Yes. Because that is an actual case. And they never got up, though. They never got up. Why did they fall down dead? To pretend to be something that you're not. Put that brass shield. Go back and forth to the house of the Lord so that everybody will see everything's okay. When really, what's needed is a true confession, crying out to God with your heart, all of us. And that's what the king didn't do. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. Civil war the whole time. And Rehoboam died, was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his mother's name was Naaman, an Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we got two other kings reigning. I know it's hard to keep up with, but we can learn a lot from them. Confess, the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not to explain them, not to prove that you had a right to feel this way, a right to be doing what you're doing, but to confess it as sin before the Lord. When God shows me and you in our lives, when your own heart starts to you notice that, hey, we got to put somebody in disguise. As soon as you know you need a disguise, you know your heart is telling you something. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. Listen to what God is saying to you. Don't be proud. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, I think you're telling me that in this area of my life I'm wrong. And confess it. Don't sit and explain to him why you do it that way. And the reason, see, it's the kids, Lord. If you wouldn't have given me, these kids are driving me crazy. I didn't used to do this until I had children. Have you ever heard parents say that? I say that. When we were normal before we had kids. And you, or you say something like, I don't normally act this way, but my dad and my mom, they drive me crazy. The reason that I shoot people for a living is because my parents drive me nuts. All you're saying is, it's not my fault, it's yours. You're not confessing. We need to confess to the Lord. Don't be like the bad kings. God has shown us a good king, King David. We learn from the examples of these. Remember these things. Pray for our country. We're in over our heads, I think. And I don't see, there's no way out of what we've just gotten into. There's no pretty way out of what we're in now. People have already died. There's no way to turn it back. There's no way out. What will happen? God knows. And so I'm kind of excited and can't wait to see. But you know something? As individuals, it has to start here with us. Walking before the Lord, listening to Him, trusting Him. Being honest in what we do, honest in what we say. Loving, no matter what the outcome is. Listening to God, by His power and His strength, doing the very things He's called us to do. When we sin, and we will, not planning to, but we will, confessing it to Him. Not giving up and throwing in the towel and walking away, but confessing. Don't be surprised when you sin. God isn't. He died for you. He paid the price. Don't be so shocked when you sin. Don't be so shocked how big it is. Because we're all capable of anything. But be willing to confess it and humble to turn your heart back to Him. Don't stand there and defend it and explain it and stand in disobedience saying, I just can't. I just can't do what He says. Yes, you can. He has called you to and He has given you His Holy Spirit. Of course you can. I can do all things through Christ. That's what He's talking about. In His will, whatever He wants me to do, I can do it. Let's bow our heads together as we just worship a bit. And when we read in God's Word these things, God allows us to see it so that His Spirit speaks to each heart so that we can know, Lord, I just want to be right with You. Nothing else matters in the long run. Because, see, I don't know that there's any guarantee we'll all make it past midnight. We've seen recently, we've lost friends, family. It shocks us, but the truth is, we keep all living like it's never going to stop. And you know it is. This physical body has to finish. It has to. I don't worry about it. But each time I get to do some praise and worship, each time I get to teach, I don't know if that's my last time. I just don't know if it's the last time I'll get to do that. So I'm always glad that we can do praise and worship, that we can study the Bible. I'm glad when I can be here on a Friday or a Sunday or whatever day, because I don't know when my last time is. Was it just now? Was that my last Bible teaching? I don't know. If He comes to get me, it's okay. That'd be great. See, you don't know either. What you want is your heart now to be with Him and to be His and to be unloaded so that you're free to worship and praise in the following.